Hey, fish friends, welcome back to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, and happy KDLG Pledge Week. The run is late this year, but it's really starting to pick up across the bay. The total run has passed 10 million fish, with some of the biggest harvests we've seen yet this season in three of the bay's districts. It's Monday, July 6th. I'm your host, Sage Smiley.
You better hold on when I'm fishing. It's going to be crazy on board.
Today, we hear from all three of the Bay's fisheries management biologists about yesterday's run developments and what's coming up this week based on Port Muller data.
Well, this is exciting. We're having a good run. It's looked like it's going to be a really big run. I think it's going to sustain for a while, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it ends up.
We also take a deeper look into run timing.
As best we can tell right now, inshore run timing to Bristol Bay seems to be about at least 4 to 5 days late.
We have part one of a conversation with historian Katie Ringsmith. She is the director of the NNN Cannery Project and called in to discuss the next exhibit for the project, Mug Up.
We're really aiming to recognize the role that cannery workers all across the Alaska played and the importance they were to not just the Alaska economy, but our culture and, you know, who we are as Alaskans.
All that coming up on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Total run in the bay jumped by over 3 million fish yesterday to almost 11.5 million. Total catch bay-wide is 8.4 million, total escapement is 2.5 million, and there are an estimated 515,000 fish in river in the bay's combined rivers. Fish per delivery from drift boats also jumped by an average of 500 fish per delivery bay-wide. All the districts that fished yesterday delivered more than 1,100 fish per delivery, and in Ugashik, that number was almost 2,000 fish per delivery. Let's take a look at the numbers. Here on the west side, the Nooshigak District had a banner day for harvest at 900,000 fish. That brings the total catch in the Nooshigak District to 2.5 million, and the total run in the district to 3.5 million. The catch is attributed 3% to Ugashik set netters, 22% to Nooshigak set netters, and 76% to the drift fleet in the Nooshigak. Across the Nooshigak District, escapement yesterday was 21,000, bringing escapement in the full district to just over 1 million. If we break that down by river, 5,000 sockeye passed the Nooshigak River sonar yesterday, bringing sockeye escapement to 465,000. 25 kings also passed the sonar yesterday, rounding out total king escapement in the Noosh at 34,000. And 2,300 chum passed the sonar yesterday. The total chum escapement in the Nooshigak River is now 58,600. In the Wood River, the counting tower crew saw 3,800 sockeye pass the tower this morning. Escapement in the Wood River is now 571,000 fish. The Ugashik tower crew counted 1,000 fish pass the tower before 6 a.m. today, bringing the sockeye escapement in the Wood to 46,000. There was no catch in the Togiak District yesterday. The total catch is still 11,600 in Togiak. But the Togiak run is picking up. Tower crew saw 624 fish pass the tower this morning, almost doubling Togiak escapement to 1,400 fish. Total run in the Togiak District is now 12,400 fish. Taking a look at the east side, the Naknek-Quijak District also had a great day for harvest with a daily catch of 891,000 fish. That was caught 6% by Quijak set netters, 18% by Naknek set netters, and 76% by the drift boats in the district. Yesterday's catch rounds out the season's catch so far at 2.7 million sockeye. District-wide escapement in the Naknek-Quijak District was 133,000 for a total season escapement of 908,000 fish. The Naknek-Quijak District had the highest total run of any district in the bay right now, 4 million. Let's take a look at escapement in the three rivers in the district. The Alagnak River had 86,000 fish escape yesterday, bringing total escapement in the Alagnak to 120,000. In the Quijac River, 8,000 fish escaped yesterday, just pushing escapement in the river to over 100,000. There's an in-river estimate of 400,000 fish in the Quijac. And the Naknek River escapement yesterday was 38,000 for a season total escapement so far of 681,000. In the Igigik District, daily catch dropped off a little bit yesterday. Fishermen in Igigik caught 529,000 fish for a total harvest of just over 3 million. That catch is attributed 88% to the drift fleet and 12% to Igigik set netters. Escapement in the Igigik District was just over 40,000 fish yesterday, bringing the total escapement to 467,000. With the 100,000 fish in river estimate, the total run in Igigik is now 3.6 million. In the Ugashik District, fishermen caught 110,000 sockeye yesterday, catching almost all of the season total harvest of 144,000 fish. Ugashik set netters caught a whopping 37% of that harvest, while the drift fleet caught 62. 4,200 fish escaped in the Ugashik District yesterday, bringing the total escapement in Ugashik to 34,000. With the 15,000 fish in river estimate, the total run in the Ugashik District is almost 200,000. At the Chignik Weir, 7,538 sockeye passed through the weir yesterday. Adding the 510 sockeye that passed through the weir as of 9 a.m. this morning, the total sockeye run in the Chignik's is 100,213. That's 92,336 sockeye in the early run and 7,877 in the late run. Yesterday, 60 kings also passed through the weir, and no additional kings passed as of 9 a.m. this morning. The total king run in the Chignik's is 194 fish. There are no public harvest updates from Area M. The South Peninsula is in the middle of an opener that started at 6 a.m. this morning, but many other sections of Area M are closed to commercial fishing for an undetermined amount of time. Where are the boats of Bristol Bay fishing, you ask? There are 1,637 permits fishing on 1,270 boats across the bay. That's 903 single permit vessels and 367 D boats. In 48 hours, there will be an additional 51 boats fishing the bay for a total of 1,321 boats, 379 of which will be D boats. The Naknek Quijac ekes out a win for the most boats fishing, beating Igigik by one boat. 32% of the fleet are fishing in the Naknek Quijac, or 410 boats, 122 of which are D boats. At 9 a.m. on the 8th, that will increase to 420 boats, 126 of which will be D boats. There are 409 boats fishing in Igigik, also representing 32% of the fleet. Igigik has the most D boats. There are currently 134 D boats there. In 48 hours, Igigik will be the district with the most boats, as vessel registrations will jump to 440, with 138 of those being D boats. The Nushagak district is being fished by 377 boats, 101 of which are D boats. That's 30% of the bay-wide fleet. At 9 a.m. on July 8th, that will increase to 385 boats, 105 of which will be D boats. Ugashik has 3% of the fleet and has passed up the Togiak district. Ugashik is being fished by 38 boats as of 9 a.m. this morning. 10 of those boats are D boats, and in 48 hours, the Ugashik district will add 2 boats for a total of 40, and the D boats will stay at 10. The same vanguard of 36 boats in Togiak are still fishing there. There are no D boats, and that 3% of the fleet won't change in the next 48 hours. At the Port Moeller Test Fishery, yesterday's catch indices were the highest observed so far this season, but show signs of leveling off. Scott Rayborn said in an email that even if the run peaked at the transect today, the run would be at least 6 days late at Port Moeller. There should be stock composition numbers available tomorrow. Here are the indices from the boats of the Port Moeller Test Fishery yesterday. Station 2 had an index of 8, 3 in the 4.5-inch mesh. Station 3 had an index of 0, no fish were caught. Station 4 had an index of 23, 3 in the 4.5, and 5 in the 5 1/8. Station 5 had an index of 189, 34 in the 4.5, and 54 in the 5 1/8. Station 6 had an index of 44, 4 in the 4.5, and 10 in the 5 1/8. Station 7 had an index of 130, 8 in the 4.5, and 31 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 8 had an index of 138, 38 in the 4.5, and 15 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 9 had an index of 235, 74 in the 4.5, and 55 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 10 had an index of 291, 65 in the 4.5, and 71 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 11 had an index of 77, 11 in the 4.5, and 16 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 12 had an index of 80, 17 in the 4.5, and 11 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 14 had an index of 5, 2 in the 5 and an eighth inch mesh. Station 16 had an index of 156, 30 in the 4.5, and 35 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 18 had an index of 110, 33 in the 5 and an eighth inch mesh. Station 19 had an index of 45, 11 in the 4.5, and 1 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 20 had an index of 205, 58 in the 4.5, and 24 in the 5 and an eighth. Station 21 had an index of 26, 2 in the 4.5, and 5 in the 5 and an eighth. We'll be right back with more of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Support for KDLG and the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Hatton Marine in Ballard, Washington, supporting and servicing the Bristol Bay fishery for the last 20 years. Parts and service requests online at hattonmarine.com or 888-283-5639.
The Tamai Community Health Center in Naknek announced 8 new cases of COVID-19 in the Bristol Bay Borough this afternoon. The cases were detected between July 1st and July 4th. All are asymptomatic seafood workers who have been in quarantine since their arrival in the bay. Chamai is still confirming how many of the active cases they've reported are still in the bay. There are no updates with respect to new cases in Lake and Peninsula Borough or the Dillingham Census Area. BBAHC is unable to keep track of total cases in those areas because of a lack of intercorporation case reporting initiative. The Nooshigak District had a big jump in harvest yesterday, pushing the total run there to over 3.5 million. I spoke to Westside fisheries biologist Tim Sands about how things are looking this week in the Nooshigak and Togiak districts as the run seems to be picking up. So yesterday was a pretty big jump in the Noosh. Is that looking like the run is picking up then?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Fort Muller numbers have been indicating that there are fish coming, and obviously there was a little bit of a lull there from the initial push that we had earlier in June, and people were starting to get a little concerned and panicky, but the Fort Muller numbers really indicated that there was fish on the way, and they showed up.
So then is that a trend that's looking like it's going to continue, like the run is going to reach all of its goals but be late?
You know, as far as reaching the goals, that remains to be seen. But I think it's clear that the run is late relative to historical timing. You know, typically we would have expected a peak around the 4th of July, and the Port Muller numbers to me indicate that it's unclear if they've reached a peak at Port Muller yet. I typically use 7-day run timing from Port Muller to here, to Nooshigak. So could still be 7 days away from the peak here in the Nooshigak.
Wow, okay, so then you're going to keep watching Port Muller. Is there anything else you're going to be watching as this week progresses?
Yeah, our big concern right now is, well, of course, kings, but frankly, there's less and less kings around, so it's harder and harder to do anything to protect kings, and we have to fish to control sockeye escapement. We are watching the Agushik River sockeye. It's lagging a little bit. So it could be just it was in the same lull as the other rivers were, and things will pick right back up over there. But we want to make sure that happens, and so we're going to be watching that, probably restricting fish to the Nooshigak section for the drift fleet instead of the whole district. And then just keep tabs on harvest and escapement, or you know, try and give some differential fishing time so the allocation can stay a little bit in line. You know, the set netters were ahead on allocation until yesterday, and then after yesterday's big harvest, the set netters are behind on allocation now, so we'll try and manage the drift fishing time a little bit to hopefully catch the set netters back up, but that's a hard one to do.
Anything else you want to say about things? Anything happening in Togiak?
You know, it's early in Togiak yet. It's relatively quiet over there. This would be kind of their first big week. It sounds like the weather is problematic for them over there today, but hopefully they'll start really getting fishing this week and get some fish, and we'll start seeing some bigger numbers at the tower. We have the tower operational now, and so we're counting fish up there.
Great. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay. Devin, went down to Georgia, please.
Yep.
All right. See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye.
We'll close out the show today with The Devil Went Down to Georgia in honor of country singer Charlie Daniels, who died this morning. The West Side may have seen the biggest jump in daily harvest, but that doesn't mean that the East Side isn't picking up too. Here are some of the things Naknek Quijack management biologist Travis Ellison had to say about the Naknek Quijack District when I called him up this morning. I cut together some highlights, so it jumps around just a little bit.
Well, this is exciting. We're having a good run. It's looked like it's going to be a really big run. I think it's going to sustain for a while, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it ends up. Yesterday was a big day in the four bigger districts. Kind of as we thought, the fish were hanging out there and have decided to move in with this weather change. And hopefully this sustains. I would expect it to continue to build over the next 4 days, and then probably stay pretty large for another, who knows how long after that, week or more. Portmore test fish was showing some big indices, and those haven't even arrived yet to the district. So yesterday was really big, and I think we're going to see some bigger days here by the end of the week. We've been fishing almost basically maximum fishing time for, you know, about a week here in the Naknek. So we're just going to keep fishing hard and see what we can catch. Escapements on the Naknek are, well, we had a really big escapement a few days ago with a big push. And then yesterday we had the big catches in the afternoon, and those fish are now moving up the Naknek River. Not sure how many there's that are going to be counted today and tomorrow, but there's definitely hundreds of thousands. So we'll have made the bottom end of the Naknek River escapement goal probably later today or sometime tomorrow. So Naknek's escapement's taken care of. The next thing we'll be looking at is watching how Quijack progresses along.
Igigik actually had a slight drop in daily harvest yesterday. Igigik management biologist Aaron Tiernan had this to say about how Igigik is looking in the coming week.
Yeah, yesterday's harvest was a little bit less than the day prior, but based on what we're seeing at the Port Muller test fishery and other reports from boats moving between districts, is there, you know, there are a good amount of fish still yet to come. I expect that to kind of be just a short little lull, and and then they're fishing again today, so, you know, that'll tell us a little bit more, but we still got a good amount of fish yet to come based on what we're seeing at Port Muller.
Aaron Tiernan also manages the Ugashik District and had this to say about how the Ugashik is doing.
So Ugashik, yeah, we had a good period yesterday. It sounded like there was quite a bit of fish activity down there for yesterday's opportunity. We're going to go again today, see how things progress, and then just continue to watch our in-season assessment. And if as long as it's, you know, tracking where it needs to be, we'll be providing some opportunity. But right now our escapements are a little bit low, but our in-river test fishery are consistently picking up fish. So, and there's, you know, there's 2-3 days travel time between the two projects. So we'll get a little bit better insight into what those indices mean here in the next 3-4 days.
The total run around Bristol Bay is about 11.5 million fish, approximately half of what we've seen at this point in the season the past 3 years, and on par with 2016. The highest catches out of the Port Muller test fishery were July 2nd through 5th.
Now that's substantially later than the traditional peak in Port Muller catches, which in the past has occurred sometime around June 29th.
That's Curry Cunningham, a biologist with the University of Washington Fisheries Research Institute. He says in years when the run is early, Port Muller catches peak and then starts to decline before the end of June. When they peak after July 4th, the run tends to be later, and that's what we're looking at now.
As best we can tell right now, inshore runtime into Bristol Bay seems to be about at least 4 to 5 days late.
Cunningham says that they have some ideas about why runs are later than others. Researchers at UW have looked into correlations to ocean conditions and temperatures, for instance, but they haven't come to any conclusions.
One thing we do know is that in years more recently where we've seen fish migrating further on the outside of the Port Muller test fishery transect, there generally seems to be slightly longer or later inshore arrival timing to districts on the east side.
UW forecasted that around half of the fish in this run would be 1-3 fish, fish that spent 1 year in freshwater and 3 in the ocean. The rest of the run would be mostly made up of 1-2 fish. The season has slightly fewer 1-2 fish than expected. The age naturally makes for a difference in size. 2 ocean fish average around 4.5 to 5 pounds. 3 ocean fish average between 6 and 7.5 pounds. But Cunningham also says there is a loose relationship between the size of the run and the size of the fish. When the run is over 35 million, he says fish tend to be smaller.
The 2 ocean fish are about 1/4 pound lighter on average, and those 3 ocean fish are about 0.5 pound lighter on average in years where the run size exceeds 35 million.
Based on Port Muller indices, the University of Washington currently expects the run to meet the preseason forecast of almost 49 million fish. Ringing us out this evening, we have a conversation about the NNN Cannery Project's upcoming exhibit, Mug Up. KDLG's Tyler Thompson and the director of the project, Katie Ringsmith, shoot on the upcoming exhibit.
Just to start us off, we can just do some general background, kind of talk about the goals for the exhibit, you know, what you guys are digging into, kind of all the information about what the exhibit is, essentially.
Oh, you bet. Well, first of all, you know, it's called Mug Up, which, as everybody in Bristol Bay knows, is coffee break, but perhaps few people outside of Bristol Bay, even in Alaska, may not understand what that term means. And, of course, it was a break from the slime line and the canning line, but you know, is a place where you got donuts and coffee and a chance to refuel. But at the same time, it was also an opportunity for people to come together. And when cannery crews come together, we're talking about the possibility of, you know, 15, 20 different languages heard on the dock at Mug Up. And so our project aims to tell the story of Alaska's diverse and economically vital cannery workers, essential workers, if you will, but who are perhaps forgotten in the historic narrative. And so we're really aiming to recognize the role that cannery workers all across Alaska played and the importance they were to not just the Alaska economy, but our culture and, you know, who we are as Alaskans.
What kind of materials will be involved with the exhibit? Like, if I were a guest, what are some of the things I would see and what are some of the things I would learn about?
So if you are a visitor, whether you are from Kansas, Texas, or California, you know, you're going to learn about this space and hopefully find some connection to the narrative. So you'll actually go through a representation of a cannery. So you'll start at the working waterfront where people are having a mug up, and you might hear, you know, languages like Chinese or Spanish or Dagala or, you know, the Scandinavian languages, Croatian, the languages that, you know, fill Bristol Bay, not to mention the indigenous languages of, you know, Supiak or Yupik. So the idea is to immerse people in this experience. And then they might travel into the fish house and learn about the people who historically worked in those places, the cannery, the shops where the machinists and the carpenters work. Then you'll visit the social spaces, the bunkhouses, the mess halls. You'll learn that indeed canneries were sites once of segregation. There were white mess halls, for example, and mess halls for the Filipino and the Native workers. And there are also sites of integration, and we'll learn about how those barriers were torn down ultimately. They'll go to the hospital, for example, and learn the canneries were more than about putting fish into a can. The hospital, of course, was the site of the 1919 flu pandemic, and so visitors will learn about that experience and probably take a much more meaning from that, you know, considering what's happening right now. And then they'll make their way to the Winter Watchmen and learn about the important and vital role that the local residents played in caring for the canneries. The fact that this cannery in South Naknek is 130 years old and still standing is a testament to that care. And then ultimately they'll end up at the office in the White House and learn about the Alaska Packers and the role of the corporate end of the cannery. And then so they'll get, again, this full experience.
And that's Katie Ringsmith. Join us tomorrow on The Fish Report, where she discusses the 1919 Spanish flu and how canneries were used. All that tomorrow.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from GCI, offering connectivity to communities around the state with the latest smartphones and internet packages. A full list of services and store locations at gci.com.
Gone fishing. Babble, 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 babble. There's a sign up on your door.
That's all for tonight, folks. We have a ton of messages to the fleet, and we also have the marine weather forecast coming up after that. Happy belated birthday to Alan on the Haley Sea, and happy birthday to Seth Cook on the Candall boat. Hope the baby is healthy and the mommy's doing fine. And to the fishing vessel Kaya Marie in the Igigik District, hope all is well. Carl, please call home. From your Uncle Lenny in the fishing vessel Jean C. in Southeast Alaska. This is a message to the crew aboard the DriftNet boat named the Shadow Fishing in Ugashik. Wishing you a big day. Fill those nets, kiss those fish, and enjoy that extra helping of Betty Crocker of Bacon and Ranch Suddenly Salad. Big love from deep in the tropics of the Minnesota River Valley. From Eva. Happy birthday to Brady Durgan, a set netter on the Nooshigak. From a friend. Happy 4th of July to Captain Mike and the hardworking crew on the Bonnie B. I hope you're being good campers and social distancing, but not from the salmon. Please ask Mike if he saw UFOs on UFO Day. Be safe, be excited, and appreciate the memories of this day. To Captain Cat and the crew of the Seahawk, hope you are working hard and having some fun. Keep catching lots of fish. Happy NBT from JB. To Captain Doug Morgan on the fishing vessel Miss Emma. Doug, I sent your loofahs, pull tabs, and half a pack of Pall Malls. Also, the trailer park says you need to move your van. That's from the Oracle. We also have a recording of a birthday message.
To Ruby on the Wolverine. If you had a choice, which would you rather have as a pet? A snowy owl, a walrus, a seal, or a wolverine? Send me a message with your answer. Captain Kate.
Now we've got the marine weather forecast to take us out tonight. In Bristol Bay, there's a small craft advisory. Tonight, there will be a west wind, seas at west wind of 25 knots, seas at 7 feet, with patchy fog. Tuesday, there will be a west wind at 20 knots, seas at 5 feet, and patchy fog. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, tonight there will be a west wind at 20 knots, seas at 5 feet with patchy fog, and tomorrow a west wind of 15 knots, seas at 5 feet, and patchy fog. In the tides at the mouth of the Nooshigak River, the next tide is a low at 11:12 p.m. at a low of negative 1.63 feet. The next high tide is at 5:55 a.m. at a high of 22.47 feet. At the mouth of the Naknek River, the next low tide is at 11:42 p.m. at a low of negative 1.76 feet. The next high will be at 6:05 a.m. at a high of 24.74 feet. And finally, at the mouth of the Igigik River, the next low tide is at 10:03 p.m. That will be at negative 2.01 feet. The next high tide will be at 4:54 a.m. at a high of 19.45 feet. That's all. If you want to get in touch with the news team, you can reach out anytime by calling 842-2200 or email fish@kdlg.org. And if you want to donate to support the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report or KDLG, you can call in between 7 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. at 842-5281 or donate on our website anytime at kdlg.org. Good night, good fishing, see you back here tomorrow. Here's Charlie Daniels, The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too, and if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, there's your dog bite, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again, cause I told you once, you son of a gun, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, will you don't fight, no child, no.